Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today.
The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you.
Hi, Vanessa. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Vanessa King. I am the author of A Certain Appeal, and I'm originally from Litchfield Park, Arizona, but I've moved all over the place since and am now residing in Austin, Texas, with my husband and daughter. And yeah, we're just enjoying a roughly 70 degree day. Hopefully things won't get too Texas-y out there.
Yeah. I thought of moving to Texas. I live in Texas a summer while I was in college. Mm-hmm. But I live in the conservative. I lived in College Station, Texas, which is where Texas A&M is.
Yes.
And so okay. I was like, if I ever move back to Texas, it would have to be Austin because I'm too liberal for this place. And so I lived in New York for 14 years. And when I was trying to figure out where I was going to go next, I knew like my time in New York was over. I was like, I consider Texas, but my only caveat was that it was too far away from Puerto Rico. So The flights were a little too longer for my taste. So I ended up choosing Chicago and then ended up in Florida now. So
okay.
I did a couple moves in the past 2 years.
That's pretty extreme. Chicago, I mean, the winters alone. You're like, what have you done? Why?
Pretty much. So Chicago is like a happy medium. If you leave New York, it's like, it's a cleaner New York and it's like nicer.
Yeah.
Everything's closer and you can afford to have one bedroom apartment for like what you can afford,
right.
You know, not even with roommates in New York. So that was fabulous. But the winter, I would say it was just quite an experience. I was like, yeah, like this is just not fun, you know.
I've never been. I just remember my granddad talking about just walking down one street and then turning a corner and just almost being knocked over by the wind. He's like, it's earned its name.
Yeah.
And I'm going back to my hotel now. Like that was great.
Yeah. I think like the month of February of 2021 that I spent, it was basically, I did not leave the house. Like I left the house just to go to the Starbucks, which is like a 10 minute walk. And most of the times it was fine. It was just like, you just like go through it. There was one day where the whole street was covered in ice. And it was just like, yeah, just get this coffee that day.
Like I think can I go? Yeah. Another day.
But
no joke.
But yeah, and so it's weird now that I've learned Tampa where I was like, yeah, I don't have winters. Like it's like 70 degrees. You know?
That sounds okay. I know you're in short sleeves. You're like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I work for a New York company, so I'm like always like I just wear my short sleeve and something like, yeah, you're like in the warm weather.
What is this? Yeah,
I know. Like, what is going on here? I'm like, I just live in warm weather now.
It's a different experience.
It is a different experience. So, but yeah. So let's chat about Certain Appeal. Tell us all about it.
Well, I mean, the long and short of it, I always say, is just Pride and Prejudice set in the contemporary New York burlesque scene. So mm-hmm. I spent a couple years working at a burlesque show in New York City in Manhattan and knew that it would be a fantastic setting for a story just in general. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved Pride and Prejudice and Jane Austen in all of her works. And so a friend had mentioned, I was between projects, needed something to work on. And a friend of mine was saying, you know, you have to do something with that burlesque experience. I'm like, I know, but what? Plot has always been my like sticking point. If I had my druthers, I would just have floating heads in space, being clever at each other, like not even setting. I don't like, don't make me describe people and things. But she mentioned that she was working on a retelling and that was it. I was like, oh, perfect. Okay. Pride and Prejudice was the only thing that came to mind. And I got to work. I mean, I was like, sorry, I had to get off the chat. I got an idea and just got to work. So it was a lot of fun.
Okay, so let's talk about your burlesque origin story. How did you discover burlesque, and like what led you to be involved in this world? Because it's a unique world.
I like to say that my story begins, as so many modern epics do, at the intersection of wine and internet, mm-hmm. where there had been wine, and then I was on the internet and fell down one of those, you know, rabbit holes where there was some like awful article along the lines of, you know, 10 things men wish women would do with their boobs, which you're like, really? That sounds ambitious. Like in my experience, they're like just stoked that you showed up with them. Like that's, you know, the long and short of it. But like, I'm clicking through, like, this is ridiculous. I must know. And one was, you know, press them against glass. You're like, that sounds dangerous and unflattering, but sure. And the second one was twirl tassels. And it goes on to say, you know, Joe Weldon of the New York School of Burlesque. And that was it. I mean, I was living in Park Slope, Brooklyn at the time. I was like, of course, New York has a school of burlesque. And click the link. And the very next day was a confidence course led by world famous Bob. And I was like, I love confidence. Let's look into that. And signed up. And the next day I had a minor wine headache and a confidence course to go to. And it was fantastic. And that just got me going. So I got home from that course and immediately signed up for the intro level program mm-hmm. with the New York School of Burlesque, which was taught by Jo Weldon herself, who is an incredible human being. And from there, it was just great. So I did two student showcases with one number set to the Oogie Boogie song from The Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I performed as Oogie Boogie. Like I've had a full costume and peeled down from like the full burlappy looking getup. And from there, it's a big time and like financial investment. And I'm not I can't hold choreography in my head at all, which is, I can't even write about people who can do that, which is why my POV character Bennett can't dance either. I was like, nope, can't even make up a world where that's possible. So, but I did talk to Jo Weldon about stage kittening, and she recommended I check in with a club called Duane Park, which is one of the premier locations in Manhattan. And they said, sure, how about Saturdays? So about 2 years, I went in and picked up after the peelings of the best in the biz. So it was just a great time.
So I have to tell you, I've been on Joe's lister for years.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Like 12 years. Like, yeah. You know? It's one of those things where like when you're in New York, there's something you're just like creative and trying different things. And for me, it was like getting outside of my comfort zone. So I just joined her lister and I wanted to take the confidence course. And for some reason, it didn't match like the days, the money, the stuff. And so I never took it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you missed opportunity.
Well, Bob does online courses. Actually there was a giveaway that we did with my publisher where, and actually world famous Bob lives in Austin now. So I got to give Bob a thank you copy in person, which was very exciting. Yeah, I know, that was like, oh my, I didn't cry. I got very close. And, but yeah, Bob was kind enough to contribute a one-on-one confidence course mm-hmm. for the giveaway. So that happened.
Well, there we go. Now I can try to see, get her online, you know?
Yeah, I know. Look through. And it's just worldfamousbob.com, I think. Yeah. Check it out.
This is great for our listeners too.
I know. There's so many resources out there. There's so many great performances you can just watch online and courses you can take online. When I did my cover reveal, I did a glove peel to go along with it. Mm-hmm. I think it's still my pinned tweet. I mean, it was just a really fun, I can't actually say that. That was not fun. It took me multiple days of recording because again, choreography, not my thing, but mm-hmm. I was able to use, choreography and guidance from a performer named Vera Valentina, who does online workshops and is very active on social media. So you can always see her stuff. But yeah, there's just so many resources out there. If you're even just a little bit curious, you can dip your toe in.
Yes, I have to say, like, burlesque definitely changed my life. Like, just even the act of watching it, like, there's something to be said about, like, just watching you know, be mesmerized by the experience and
for sure.
You know, so, and I love this book, how it was set in the world of the West, and it's just the set of New York, and just the idea of like having the idea of being creative, having a creative community, but still have day jobs, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is like such a New York experience.
It is so specific. It's funny because when I was living there and working at the club, my day job was teaching swim lessons at a community center. Incidentally, around the corner from Duane Park's original location. So yeah. I only had one family where that kind of crossed over, where they were like, we know you. It's like, yeah, you do. Hi. So, I mean, I was more covered up at the club than I was, you know, teaching swim lessons at the pool. So I was like, this, at least there's fishnets. I mean, there's a little more coverage, but yeah, it was funny just to see what other people did. And when I worked at that community center, everyone else was pursuing music and acting and different performance stuff. So that was just, that's just life in New York. If you're not, you know, career professional, you're working at other things as well.
Yeah, that is a very New York experience. It's something that I still do. Like I actually have a day job, and that's like something that, and they know it's a day job. Like they support me in the creative sphere. Like I think they're used to having people like, you know, have like the idea of like you have other passions and other creative stuff, and there's other jobs and there's other, like you're always on the go, you know. And I think that's something, it's like I don't see it that often outside of the New York space. I think, you know, maybe in the LA space, like when there's like you know, or maybe some of the cities where there's more creative feel, but definitely that's a very New York thing to have,
like, you know, everyone's got an internship or some sort of opportunity going on, or like, oh, I can't make it in because I have a, you know, I have to go try out for something. Like, okay, great. Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll make it in later. Good luck.
Yeah. That is the very New York experience. So, and so do you grow up reading Pride and Prejudice, or like, what's your Pride and Prejudice origin story?
The first time I read it was going into my freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. I was in the IB program. And so going into freshman year, you had to read 3 classic works of literature. There was a list, and Pride and Prejudice was of the 3, the one that I actually enjoyed. I mean, no offense, Pearl S. Buck, but you know, this one had a little bit more engagement from me. So, but I loved it even then, even though I had to write a paper, you know, like 2 days before school started, did not hold it against my Pride and Prejudice experience. And then a few years later, then of course, Bridget Jones's Diary came out, which was its own huge cultural sort of thing. And I'd read it before. I have an aunt who lives in Paris, and she'd gotten a hold of it. It was like, this is what life is like when you're single and living in a city. And I remember distinctly my grandmother being like, I don't think I need to read this then, because that might be too much information. But I read it and loved it, and you know, saw the connections between it and Pride and Prejudice. And then even in college, I did a course, Jane Austen and film. I went to a school that had a strong, you know, film component to it. And there were always lots of opportunities for, you know, loosely tied into my lit degree courses. And so that one was done just over the interterm between semesters. And it was just several hours a day, just reading Jane Austen and watching the movies and, you know, being like, shh, to the one guy, the poor one guy in the class. We're like, Confort is coming out of the lake. Give us a second. But yeah, we watched all the different adaptations. And so that was just been a part of life for a long time. And of course, I'm a 2005 fan. So kind of I leaned into the sort of vibe of that one for this retelling. So I just love in that version that they're just so inconvenienced and annoyed by how into each other they are. And so I tried to play that up in my book because I love that. They're like, oh, you're so annoying, but I'm into you, which makes it even more annoying.
Yes, and it definitely lived it up to the hype, you know. Awesome. So the chat, what are you working next?
I am working on, I mean, life keeps getting in the way of the whole sitting down and writing thing. Mm-hmm. But I am revising chapters for a follow-up with a Sense and Sensibility sort of angle. And this time, my Eleanor is the accountant to a particular burlesque venue that is very important in a certain appeal. So there are lots of familiar faces and, you know, other parts showing up in this retelling. And my agent and I are going to pitch that to my publisher coming up once I dutifully attend to the suggestions that have been given. but I'm really excited about it. I write all over the place when I work on a project. So I just kind of follow an idea while it excites me. And then I'm like, okay, well, let's just do this other scene because that sounds really fun, mm-hmm. as opposed to actually going in order. So she's like, no, you kind of need to do chapters that begin the book, kind of the rule. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll set it up and then I'll describe it, which is such a, you know, a pain to, again, want someone who just wants to have floating heads in space be clever at each other. So I was very cruel to myself in making Bennett, the main character, in A Certain Appeal and interior designer, because I was like, oh, great. Now she's going to be looking at stuff and thinking about it. And I have to talk about that, and write out what she's thinking about, what she's looking at. Like, good job. Thanks, me. I'm happy with it anyway.
I like that Bennett was an executive assistant, interior designer, and she mm-hmm. had victories. She'd go for it.
Yeah, she's going for it. Yeah.
She was like the evidence of a New York girl, you know.
She had a hustle. She had some setbacks, got to work through that. And then, let's
step it up. And she had her own found family. Like, it was just it was like the whole, you know, the found family, the community, the mm-hmm. whole aspect of it. So, yeah. And so accounting, how are you researching that?
Exactly, right? Like- I have a good friend who is an accountant. So that is very helpful. And I, when I write, or I've, you know, it's been a while since I've contributed to it, but there's an online critique group that you can find called critiquecircle.com, mm-hmm. where you can submit your work and get feedback. And so you can do private queues where you can pick and choose who gives you feedback. So I always would run through the queues. You know, I did my entire, all of A Certain Appeal went through that process. On that website, where chapter by chapter, I had the same group of people giving me feedback, which was great. I have a little shout out to them in my acknowledgement section because it was such a huge help, especially to have the same people working from beginning to end. Just mm-hmm. and I have a whole bunch of different perspectives. And one of the gals actually who had helped me out there has a background in finance. So as I was doing very early work, she's like, that wouldn't fly. Dang it. Okay. So I do have do have some folks to lean on for that, but which also does some crafting. So I was able to write off a macrame set that I tried working with back in early COVID times. We're like, let's try this. I am not good at it, but you know, now I can talk about square knots with some authority. So
there we go.
I got one plant hanger out of it, and it is not attractive, but it does have a plant in it. So,
but there we go. Awesome. So let's chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books you recommend our listeners to pick up?
I mean, I read all over the place. So mm-hmm. I was big, you know, at the big sort of YA boom in the late aughts. I was in the Forever Young Adult Book Club when I was in Brooklyn as well. And so, you know, I read the Daughter in Smoke and Bone series by Lainey Taylor then. And it is just stunning and epic and beautiful. And she creates these worlds or fantasy that are so immersive and beautifully drawn out. And there's always this love story that carries through it. And there's characters who have done horrible things, and she gives them these amazing redemption arcs that you couldn't believe that someone who's so wallowing in guilt, and she writes it out so elegantly, can come back and find, you know, a new purpose and things. And it's, and you're like, and this person's part dragon and deer. And you're like, okay, sure. And they're so wonderful, and you feel for them. And it's so nicely done. And she also did a duology, Strange the Dreamer, that mm-hmm. has another beautiful love story and this whole world and mythology happening within it. And these arcs for characters that are coming back from some horrible traumatic event. And it's just so beautifully done. I just love jumping into her world. So it's very exciting to see. And then I feel like I'm going to pronounce their name wrong. Hiran J. Sao's Iron Widow that came out in, I believe, October of this year. Mm-hmm. I was familiar with the writer based on their very thorough takedown of the new Mulan live action, where they were like, okay, we are crossing over multiple dynasties. What is your timeline? I'm offended on many levels. It was just very, very funny. But the It's another YA fantasy, and it is set in a world where there's fighting off an alien invasion around the Great Wall, and boys and girls are linked in giant robots to fight off aliens. And the male pilots are glorified and are big celebrities, while the female pilots are just disposable and often, you know, drained of their energy source and die from the mental link that's required to operate it. So, I mean, the pitch was, or at least it keeps getting mentioned as Pacific Rim meets Handmaid's Tale. Those are disparate, but how do they come together? And Wu Zaitan is the protagonist of the story, and she comes in, offers herself as a concubine pilot to get revenge, to avenge her sister's death. And she gets her revenge and then some. It's just like the burn it all down mentality of this character. And she takes no prisoners and is completely unyielding. And when people talk about like unlikable heroines and things, you're like, oh no, you like her because she is out for blood and she will stop at nothing to get what she wants. And you just like respect every move she makes. And it's just the most compelling story. And there's a sequel coming up too. So that's very exciting as well.
That is very exciting. I love these recommendations. I'm always looking for like some YA fantasy world building, like just get lost in a story, or you just like immerse in this whole world.
Oh like, yeah. And I always listen. I'm a big audiobook person. And so I'm listening and I'm just like, what task that I don't have to think about? Can I is there laundry to fold? Cause I need to just get back into this. So like, nothing that actually requires concentration, but if it can give me some menial thing, like I will do that all day and listen to my stories.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and the sort of, you know, crowning achievement to me in audiobook stuff has been Taylor Jenkins Reid's Daisy Jones and the Six, because that one has a full cast. And I mean, partway through, you just forget that you're listening to fiction, except for Judy Greer. I love her to death, but she has such a distinctive voice that I keep waiting for her to yell, "You're not my supervisor," like from Archer at some point. It's like, you're taking me out of it, but thank you for grounding me in reality. Like, that's okay. I need to know. But it was just, it's such an incredible feat of writing in general, that story. And then for it to play out that way in that medium is just so effective. But her stuff, just in general, I mean, you have the multi-POV in Malibu Rising with characters that tie back to that other story, into Daisy Jones. And then The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo has the same, as, you know, it's such an interestingly written book where you have this Hollywood figure telling her life story to a journalist. And then you have the journalist's story is bookending events. And then you have the, how they are connected is this, you get, it's such a compelling story that it's like, I don't care how they're connected. And then you find out and you're like, oh my God. Okay. It's just so well done.
Yes. I would show Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is still by far one of my favorite books. Like, it's just like, it's so compelling and it's just so good.
So good. And she's another one where, you know, you see what she does to get, you know, what Evelyn Hugo did in her past to make it in her career, and the sacrifices she made and the people she kind of threw under the bus, and the way she's trying to redeem herself, or at least she doesn't apologize, but she's still like making things right. Anyway, it was just, it was so good.
And I have to tell you, your book, I listened to an audio and it was such a compelling experience. I think I enjoyed it the most because I felt like I was immersed in this world. Like, like I was like listening to it while falling asleep. Like, it was like one of those things I was like, I don't want to go to sleep. I want to know.
Like, tell me more.
So I was like early morning rising. That was like the first thing it would rise me to get back. And it was just like so good.
That was getting Julia Whelan as the reader was a huge get for me. Because again, I'm such an audiobook person. And when the casting director for the audiobook version reached out to me, she's like, here is a short list. And a few of them, I was like, oh, I'm familiar with their work. They're very good, but they also sound really young. And that always kind of creeps me out when like 60 times come in. I'm like, no, you sound young. Don't do that. Like, you're too young for that. But, and a few others, I was like, actually they'd be fine. But if I had my druthers, if we could get Julia Whelan that, and she's like, oh, that'd be perfect. I'll reach out and see. And she took it. And it was literally the day we were moving into our new house in Texas. And I screamed and like did a happy dance in the kitchen and then went back to like carting boxes. Like, oh my God, we got my dream reader. Life is good. This is amazing. Like, oh, like energized me through the rest of the horrible, sweaty unpacking experience. Which is no small thing.
It is.
And that was, and listening to the like, you know, 5 minute snippet on online on the day my book came out, like that was my, this is real. I'm going to cry now. And then like passed out and took a nap because I got to the gym early and was, you know, exhausted from the excitement anyway. So yeah, that made it real. So the, my connection to the whole audiobook experience is so exciting to hear other people chime in. A friend of mine listened to it recently. She's like, she did such a good job.
She did.
The, you know, in a particular scene in the coat closet scene, she did it so well. It's like, okay, good. Critical scene. It's important to get that one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, she did a great job. And I think in some ways, because she said she does such a great job, like people would, and she does a wide range of books, yeah. Like people will like look for her as a narrator and you may discover a book that way too. Like it's like an unlikely way to find a book, but I'm like, I just look for her narration. So I'm like, I'm more likely to pick that book.
Yeah. Because I'm, yeah, exactly. Like I'm very specific. There are odd choices out there. I remember listening to one book. I just had to stop. They had just such a weird, it was a YA book, but the guy reading it sounded like he was in his much, much older and had this like weird affectation. I was like, I don't want that in my ear for 12 hours. Thank you. Nope. Yeah. Sorry. Done with that. Can't do it. So I've returned books on less. So like, I'm very sorry. I will, Libro FM, I will redeem my credit elsewhere, but I cannot do this.
Awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
Well, I am at VanessaLeeKing.com. And that's where I have my very rarely, but occasionally updated blog. So I actually have a fun, very fun post on the process behind getting my cover done. And so that was such an interesting, having zero experience in the cover art world, that was a really interesting process. And so it was fun to write about the little tweaks here and there and the massive changes at the beginning. So, so that's a fun, according to the page, 7 minute read. And then I am at VaDanessa on Twitter, where I'm even less inclined to show up. I'm mostly in there to like, you know, dumb jokes. And then, but Instagram, and that I believe I'm Vanessa Lee King there. I should know my Instagram handle, but it's okay. It's all up there on my website. So you can find it. But yeah, that's where I spend more time than I should. So.
So thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. This is so much fun. So get to gush about my favorite things, including my book, which is among my favorite things. So it's great.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libro FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libro FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libro FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libro FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/Libro FM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.